This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, a weekly podcast where we ponder and proclaim the Sunday Mass readings. I'm Dina Marie. You might be listening to this podcast on the Hail Mary media app. You might be watching and listening on my YouTube channel, Faith Moments with Dina Marie. Either way, I'd love for you to subscribe to this episode and continue to get the updates that I post on both the Faith Moments podcast and also on my YouTube channel. So please send this off to other folks, and I'd love to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are in the midst of the Easter season, the season which is 50 days. It goes from Easter Sunday all the way to Pentecost. And in there, the beautiful Sundays of Easter, we'll have our Ascension Thursday, which will lead us into the Pentecost. The first Pentecost of the church is that time of prayer before the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the apostles and our Blessed Mother are together. They're praying, and Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. So as we come together today on this third Sunday in the season of Easter, the first Sunday, Easter Sunday, the Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord, the second Sunday of Easter, we know as Divine Mercy Sunday. And now we have this beautiful third Sunday in Easter. So let's begin. I want to open with the collect prayer for this third Sunday. And there's a beautiful word that I want you to focus on in this collect prayer. See if you will pick it out with me as we pray it together. Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear that word hope? You know, the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. And this prayer at the beginning of the third Sunday in the Easter season, that we're asking for God to make us exult forever in a renewed youthfulness of spirit that will look forward in confident hope, not just hope, but confident hope, that we trust, that we stand confident no matter what peril lies before us, no matter what darkness we seem to perceive in the world. We stand in confident hope to rejoice in the day of resurrection. And that is the good news. That's the good news. The hope that we share is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So we begin, and in fact, I think I mentioned before, throughout the season of Easter, we hear the first reading not only in the Old Testament, which we have most of the other parts of the year, we have the Acts of the Apostles. We get to hear of the life of the church. We get to see where there is that hope. Where is that confident hope? Well, it begins right here with the Acts of the Apostles. And here we get to hear once again from our first pope, that is Peter. Our first reading in the third Sunday of Easter is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is from Psalm 4. Lord, let your face shine on us. When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer. Lord, let your face shine on us. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. Lord, let your face shine on us. O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart. Lord, let your face shine on us. As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling. Lord, let your face shine on us. Our second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God, is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord. Our gospel today is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. On this third Sunday in the season of Easter, our God is a God of second chances. get that sense so often as we read the various gospel accounts of Jesus's ministry, I think particularly of the time of Peter and the leader in our church, that Jesus continues to give Peter a second chance. And I want to just start with, in the book of the Apostles, the Act of the Apostles, I just want to go a little bit before what we hear in the account for today. This is the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. And in chapter 3 of Acts, we hear of a crippled beggar who approaches Peter and John as they are in the temple area. In fact, it even says that they're at the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And he asks for healing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, Peter says that you will be healed. They admit, we don't have gold or silver to give to you, but what we do have, we're messengers of Christ, basically. And the man is healed. And the people are, of course, amazed at this. And they're looking and attributing this miracle to Peter and John. But Peter and John and all the apostles, just like our Blessed Mother, take all the attention off of themselves and go directly back to Christ. Let's go back to Christ. Christ is the one who is the originator of all of these miracles. And so in chapter 3, the middle part of verse 12, it says, because the people are trying to attribute this miracle to Peter. And it says, when Peter saw this, he addressed the people, quote, "You Israelites, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us as if we made him walk by our own power or piety?" And then we get into the reading today. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, whom you handed over. By the way, folks, you're the ones who handed over this, our God, to the authorities. And so again, they want to proclaim Christ, Christ crucified. And at the end of this, Peter says, you know, God brought all of this to fulfillment. He recognizes the people's ignorance. He says, you know, I know that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has brought this to fulfillment. And he says, God fulfilled the prophets, that the Christ would suffer. And so Peter, as the church does, as God does, gives us a second chance. And he says, repent, repent. Now you know. Now you know. You're seeing the miraculous example of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. He says, repent that your sins may be wiped away. It just reminds me that our God is a God of second chances. And sometimes we go through life and we don't know all of the facts. That's really for all of us, right? We don't quite understand. And as we get a little bit more of a glimpse of the truth in Jesus Christ, now we have a choice. Now we have a choice to continue in our sin, to continue in our ignorance. But as we know Jesus, our ignorance falls away. Because as we embrace the truth, we have to embrace a new way of life. The apostles, Peter and the rest, they changed their way of life from the inside out. From the choices they made, the morality, the way in which they lived their life, their relationships with one another, had to become a relationship that was based upon a love of God and love of neighbor. This is what Jesus taught. This is who Jesus is. In the Beatitudes, we hear this. Jesus teaches, you know, the greatest commandment, love God and love neighbor. When we do that, anything outside of that is a disordered lifestyle, is a disordered way of living. When we don't love God, when we offend God with our language, with our behaviors, with the things that we do, the things that we think, if they are offensive to God and offensive to neighbor, do we objectify others? do we criticize and condemn and violate others in their dignity? That's a violation to the commandment. And we hear more about that as we hear about St. John, the letter, talking about following the commandments of the Lord. But I just want to share with you one thing in the psalm, a very short psalm phrase that we repeat in the responsorial psalm, Lord, let your face shine on us. Lord, let your face shine on us. How do we let, in 2024, we're not living in the time of Peter and the apostles who did have time physically to live in the presence of Jesus Christ. We have a way from the very beginning, and we'll get into it in the gospel, through the breaking of the bread, we truly, surely encounter Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ's face shines upon us in the Holy Eucharist, in our time of adoration, in the Blessed Sacrament, the beautiful devotion to the holy face of Jesus. We can invite Jesus to shine his rays. We talk about the sunshine today as I'm recording this. The sun is shining. It's a glorious day. I've got heat coming in from the window of this glorious sunshine of the celestial bodies outside. But God created those celestial bodies. God created all of that. And in the presence of God, we get a greater ray of light. We get rays of grace. We get the rays of God's grace shining upon us when we are in the presence of God himself in the Holy Eucharist and our Sunday, quote, obligation, in this beautiful invitation for us to dine at the altar of the holy sacrifice of the Lamb, to take part in the wedding feast, to be in the presence of Jesus. We get to get a suntan of a different kind. And that's a suntan that will burn in our hearts. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. In the Gospel of Luke today, we hear the second part of the account of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they've had this encounter with Jesus Christ. And as soon as they recognize him, and we hear those words that he's recognized in the breaking of bread, and all of a sudden Jesus disappears from them, and they go back to the apostles and share their story of having an encounter. You know, this is evangelization. I just encountered Jesus Christ. He, and in how beautiful of a story, which we heard even in the Acts of the Apostles, that the scriptures are being made known to the apostles from the teachings of Moses, the law, the Psalms, the prophets. This is all becoming fulfilled in the incarnation, in the life, in the passion and death, and finally in the resurrection of his body, soul, spirit, Jesus Christ. And so we know Jesus is being made known to us today, as he was back in this account from Luke, in the breaking of the bread. And there was a physical encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, look at my hands and feet. I'm not a spirit. I wasn't just resuscitated from the cross. I was resurrected from the dead. Jesus went to the dead, those who were waiting for the kingdom, those who were in that place called the dead, not in hell where the devil lives, but no, in that place of the dead, waiting for the coming of Christ. He went there to shine his light. And then there was the resurrection from the dead to bring new life to all who would believe. And he showed that your body, like my body, will be resurrected. We have bodies. We understand the physical needs to eat, to drink, to feel the sunshine, to feel the clean water washing over our bodies. We know what that physical experience is. And now Jesus is showing them, you will have a physical experience. I'm having a physical experience, but I'm also God. I'm the Son of God. And he took and he ate the baked fish that they offered. This is something that we will look forward to in, what did we hear from the collect? In confident hope. We have that road paved for us. Who went before us? The Blessed Virgin Mary, assumed into heaven. This is a teaching of the Catholic Church that Mary's body and soul was assumed into heaven. She didn't have any power over that. God brought her and took her at an appropriate time, her body and her spirit, to heaven. And we've had how many approved apparitions of Mary's body being at different parts of the world, sharing a message of hope, sharing a message of reparation, right? To repent. Mary's message is to repent and to follow Jesus. We need to pray. We need to know our faith in order to realize that we've sinned. And we need to repent from those sins and turn away and to not sin anymore. And finally, I just think it's interesting that in this account from Luke, Jesus is talking and he says, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance, here we go again, for the forgiveness of sins, this is what it's all about, would be preached in his name to all the nations forever. Beginning from Jerusalem, there was a home base. There was a mother house. There was a heart and a central hub for this faith, for this Christianity to begin. The Catholic Church began in the heart of Jerusalem with Peter as our first pope and going out from there. And Jesus says, you are witnesses of those things to proclaim the good news. Repent. God is a God of second chances. Today, now, you are called to repent, turn away from your sin, and sin no more. And when we live in that way of following the commandments of the Lord, that's true freedom. That's true life, life in abundance. When the Israelites were fleeing the slavery by the Egyptians, it wasn't just about being under and out of the Egyptians' thumb. No, it was by being free to worship, by being free to fully live out, to be fully alive. To be fully alive is to worship the God who made us. To be fully alive is to join with the angels in praising and worshiping God. Beginning from Jerusalem, this ministry has started, and we continue it today by receiving the good news, by receiving the bread that Jesus has broken for us, in properly being in a state of grace to receive Holy Communion as often as we can. And when we've fallen, that we go to Jesus in the sacrament of confession. Let's do that today, and let's have that confident hope, Jesus Christ is Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Have a blessed Easter season.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.